Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Joseph, the son of Jacob, was cast into a pit and then sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers. There, in Egypt, he was falsely accused of adultery and cast into prison. Nevertheless, despite all of these trials, the scriptures tell us that the Lord was with Joseph, that the Lord's blessing was on Joseph, that the Lord showed Joseph steadfast love. While in prison, he gave Joseph the gift of interpreting dreams, and Joseph was able to interpret Pharaoh's strange dreams, so that Joseph would be raised eventually to be second only to Pharaoh himself over all the land of Egypt. It was by the wisdom given to Joseph by God that Egypt and the surrounding lands were delivered from a terrible famine. And in time, Joseph was reunited with his family, who would settle as shepherds in that land of Egypt. The book of Genesis tells us that through all Joseph's trials, the Lord showed mercy to him. So is it any wonder that when his father Jacob died and his brothers feared that now Joseph would seek revenge for all their evils that they had done toward him, Joseph did not get revenge. Instead, he forgave his brothers' transgressions and sins and provided for them and their little ones. Joseph, who had received the blessing of the Lord throughout his life and especially in his times of suffering, turned and was kind and tender-hearted toward his brothers, yes, those men who had mistreated him so badly. The steadfast love and mercy of the Lord remained with Joseph even when he was falsely accused and cast in prison. And so Joseph then showed that same steadfast love and mercy toward his brothers when their consciences accused them, when they were in bondage to the guilt and shame of their former sins. In short, Joseph exemplifies what our Lord Jesus Christ says in today's gospel lesson. He was merciful, even as his father was merciful to him. We Christians have received a greater mercy than being released from prison. For we Christians, when we were in bondage to our sin, when we were subject to the accusations of the devil, when we were captive to death itself, we were redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ, who by his blood freed us from sin, silenced the devil, and brought us out of the darkness of death into his perfect life and light. God has shown this infinite, all-surpassing mercy to us. We have become children of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven, not by our own worthiness, not by our works, but by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. Salvation by this grace is clearly taught by our Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry. Just last week, we heard that when the Pharisees and scribes grumbled that Jesus was receiving sinners and eating with them, he responded with the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost or prodigal son. And there Jesus says, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Likewise, when those same religious leaders grumbled that Jesus was eating and drinking in the house of Matthew, the tax collector, Jesus responded, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And again, when Jesus passed by the house of yet another tax collector, Zacchaeus, he invited himself over to his house and declared, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. By these and many other examples, our Lord Jesus shows us that mercy is not earned by our merits, but given freely by God's grace. And that last example, the example of Zacchaeus, also shows us that those who have received the grace of God in faith will then in turn show that same grace and generosity and love to others, just as Joseph once did. For you may remember when Zacchaeus received the love of the Lord Jesus by faith, he then stood and said to him, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Zacchaeus, like Joseph, was merciful because he had received his father's mercy through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Zacchaeus had freely received, now in turn he would freely give. And again, this is true for us Christians. We give because we have first received. We show mercy because we have first been shown mercy. We have received life from God, not just now in the body, but eternally in body and soul. And so we are called then to use our lives in service toward others. We Christians have received the steadfast love of the Lord, which never fails, and so we in turn love our neighbors as ourselves. We have received the forgiveness of all our trespasses for Jesus' sake, who loved us and gave himself up for us. And so we in turn forgive those who trespass against us. God has been merciful to you. He has given his only begotten Son to die for you. In his word and sacrament, he gives you freely all that was won by his Son on the cross. By these gifts, you receive forgiveness, you receive life, you receive salvation. And so Jesus says, give, because you have first received, and because you continue to receive, and because you will continue to receive, not just a little, but in abundance. But as we hear these words, to be merciful and to give, as we have first been shown mercy and receive, we ought to reflect on our lives and our behavior. What have you actually given to your neighbor? What have you shown to him? Pardon or judgment? Mercy or condemnation? Forgiveness or bitterness? Generosity or selfishness? Too often, yes, among us Christians as well, it is the latter, not the former. Again, reflect on your life. Who have you grumbled against, even if just in your mind and heart, in the past week alone? Whose memory leaves you with a sour taste in your mouth? When you think about certain people, what sins of theirs come immediately to mind, whether they were against you or not? Repent, for you have not been merciful like your Father in heaven has been merciful to you. He is perfectly merciful, without fail. You are not perfect, and you have failed. Jesus tells us today in our gospel lesson that the one who does not show mercy toward his brother is like a man who quickly spots a speck of dust in his brother's eye, and yet he is all the while ignorant of a beam of wood, a log stuck in his own eye. Jesus says this is what it's like when you ignore your own faults and grumble against the faults of your neighbor. This is what it's like when you think of others only with grudges and resentment. This is what it's like when you refuse to let go of those sins and errors that others have committed. To be unmerciful is to be just as foolish as a man with a log sticking out of his eye, pointing out the speck in his brother's eye. Because when we are unmerciful, we show that we hold everybody else to a higher standard than we hold ourselves. How often it is that when somebody wrongs us, we demand apologies, we demand restitution. But when we do wrong, we shrug our shoulders and say, "I'm only human. Everyone makes mistakes. It wasn't my fault, really." Oh, but it gets even worse than that, doesn't it? Sometimes we actually go hunting for the specks in our brother's eyes. We dig up dirt about them so we know their faults and then feel a little bit better about ourselves. We know exactly what to say, what to write, or even what look to give to provoke others and bring out the worst reaction in them, Again, so we can justify ourselves. We know who to talk to, where to look, what to listen for to make others look bad so that we will look good. When a person stumbles, we are quick to condemn his sin, to regard him as a hypocrite, to dismiss him entirely from that point forward, both in our minds but also when we speak to others. It's not for nothing that the explanation of the Eighth Commandment in the Small Catechism deals not just with telling lies and falsehoods, but with betrayal, slander, and hurting others' reputations, indeed in all the ways that we might hurt others with our words. These sins are all too easy for us to fall into, yes, even as Christians. So Jesus warns us today, God does not take such lack of mercy lightly. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, I must be clear, this is not to say that your mercy and forgiveness toward others earns God's mercy and forgiveness. That is, and always will be, by grace and grace alone, for Jesus' sake. But a lack of mercy is a lack of faith. And a lack of faith leads to a lack of salvation. For salvation is by faith alone. Judge not, and you will not be judged. But Jesus says, if you judge, you will be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. But again, if Jesus says, if you condemn, you will be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. But if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. But if you do not give, it will not be given to you. You hypocrite, Jesus says, first, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Jesus would not have us remain walking around with logs and beams of wood or even specks in our eyes. He calls us to examine ourselves, to acknowledge our own sins, to confess the wrongs that we have done. And so also for this reason, it's that the Small Catechism teaches that we are to consider our place in lives according to the Ten Commandments. Also for this reason, the Divine Service begins with confession and absolution, just before which our hymnal instructs us that time should be set aside for silence, for reflection in God's Word and self-examination. This is reason why the pastors exhort you before the service begins to consider yourself, examine your lives according to the Ten Commandments. This is why you've been taught to take some time before the divine service, whether the hour before on Sunday morning or even the night before Saturday evening, and think about your sins. Think about your need for God's forgiveness. As a Christian, you should always be mindful of your weakness. You should always examine yourself to see that you do not have and are tolerating a log in your own eye. Daily, you should be contrite and repent of your sins. You see, unlike the sinful tolerance promoted by the world, in defense of which the world is happy to misapply Jesus' words here, judge not, there is a perfect law. A perfect law according to which we and all people must conform our lives and behavior. And there is judgment for those who do not keep the law. But that judgment was poured out on Christ. Look at the cross. See Christ hanging there. There you see God's wrath and judgment against sin. There you see how seriously God takes the violation of his commandments. There you see the terrible price that must be paid for sin. Yes, your sin. But see also with the eyes of faith the depth of God's mercy. His boundless, infinite love for you and for all sinners. See how Christ willed to give you the blessed gift of salvation and so won it for you on the cross by shedding his blood, even unto death. See there on the cross that it is Christ, not you, hanging there. Again, out of his boundless love for you. Love that is not for you alone, but for the whole world. His mercy is great that he should be willing to suffer the judgment and condemnation against sin in your place. His generosity is great that he should be willing to give you all the riches and treasures of heaven itself, which are his alone to give. For Jesus' sake, you receive life instead of death. For Jesus' sake, you receive forgiveness instead of condemnation. For Jesus' sake, you are filled up in your emptiness. And not even to the top, but all the more overflowing. God's generosity, his goodness and mercy toward you is such that he has given you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Boundless, infinite, unending. So again, it's for this reason that you've received in such a boundless, infinite, unending way that you are to give. And to give as you have received. Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. That is what God would have of you. He wills that you would be like your teacher, Jesus, like him in mercy and generosity, that you would be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This means, on the one hand, not to judge your sinning brother or sister too harshly. Sincerely forgive his trespasses against you. Gladly do good to him. If those sins are long past, let them go, even as God has remembered your sins no more. If those sins are now in the present, either go and be reconciled to your brother, or let love cover all offenses. And as the explanation of the eighth commandment also says, defend your neighbor, speak well of him, explain everything in the kindest way. On the other hand, this means that you should gently restore those who are caught in transgression. Judge not does not mean that we should all be walking around with logs and specks in our eyes. Instead, Jesus says, we take out the log that's in our own eye through contrition and repentance, and then take out the speck that is in our brother's eye with clear sight. And so, in repentance for our sins and in faith in God's forgiveness, we are then called to love each other. And that sometimes means calling the attention of a sinning brother to his fault. Sometimes mean rebuking another's transgressions, lest they be misled into false belief and despair. When we rebuke another, when we call attention to another's sins, we must never do so with an attitude of pride or superiority, but with humility and compassion, admitting the reality of the logs and specks in our own eyes, our own sinfulness. But when we do this, when we rebuke our brother's sin, we are truly loving him. For like the Lord God, the Christian should have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that he should turn from his wicked way and live. Again, Jesus says, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. You have been baptized into Christ Jesus, his death and resurrection for you. And through the waters of holy baptism, God is indeed your Father, and you are indeed his dear, beloved child. And so as a Christian, imitate your heavenly Father, just like earthly sons mimic their father's behavior. And that means, as Jesus says today, show mercy toward your neighbor. Judge not, condemn not, forgive, give, and all this in good measure. For as Jesus says elsewhere, those who have been forgiven much, love much. And think of all that God has forgiven you. All your sins, all your iniquities, all by grace and grace alone, for the sake of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our dear Lord. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.